It's time now for our ongoing series discussing substance use disorder as a treatable disease, brought to you by the Grays Harbor Consortium.
With us this morning is Patty Jo Farr. She's a grant manager at Summit Pacific Medical Center, and Angela Crowley, who's vice chairman of the Grays Harbor Consortium and works for BHR. When you say consortium, how many people are involved, or can you identify the different agencies? Because it sounds like there's a fair-sized group here.
Yes, that's correct. And so I can tell you that our current official membership, meaning they've signed a memorandum of understanding mm-hmm. that they're very committed to this work. And keep in mind, we have additional people that join our meetings randomly, ad hoc, it's called. So they don't have to sign the memorandum of understanding necessarily. So it's beyond what I have here. But a current list is Behavioral Health Resources, Community Integrated Health Services, the True Blood Program, and other areas of their organization, Grays Harbor Treatment Solutions, Lifeline Connections, Summit Pacific Medical Center Medicated Assisted Treatment Clinic, also known as the MAT Clinic, Willapa Behavioral Health, Grays Harbor Therapeutic Court. They have not signed, but they're very vested in this. We work directly and work well with them, trying to provide support services, of course. And then Connections, a subsidiary parent-child assistance program, and Grays Harbor County Public Health and Social Service Department, Grays Harbor Community Hospital, Harbor Crest, CMAR Behavioral Health, Washington State Department of Corrections, and Washington State Massage Therapy Association. So those are just a few of them. In addition to that, I work closely with Washington State Healthcare Authority, the tribal liaisons. I'm also working to build relations and find ways to connect all of our community members together and be very transparent and, you know, equitable for everything that we're providing. So that means we really have to reach out to everybody as much as possible.
So are you looking for more people to join? And if you are, what type of services are you looking for?
Well, I think we're always looking for people to join, and it's not necessarily a service, but what we want is we want people to be wanting to join, to really join in the purpose and the mission of our consortium. And the, you know, our vision is to influence a healthy and safe lifestyle for the residents of Grays Harbor community. And in order to do that, we have to address multiple pillars of work. And so we recently just redesigned our charter, and the current pillars of work that we address, of course, are substance use and opioid use disorder. We address the justice and emergency management system folks, trying to find a way to support that. The social determinants of health, which that encompasses quite a large umbrella of work. Then you have chronic disease as well. And then you have youth and families, because there's a generational cycle. So we really want to encompass and do a real cohesive wraparound surface of efforts for mm-hmm. everybody in our community. And in order to do that, we have to bring all this together to really provide resources and tools that will lead to healthy behaviors and help our community get healthy.
So how long have you been working on putting this together? Because it sounds like it's a new thing here in the county. Or are you just publicizing it for the first time?
I think we're just publicizing it, really, not for the first time. I believe there was an interview here on Coffee Talk possibly 2 years ago with Dr. Sean Andrews and Aaron DeBard, who at that time was also managing the HRSA planning grant. Mm. So it was announced then. I think that where we're at today, we're just at a different level. We're coming in here. We want to provide folks with topics to help folks understand and break down the stigma that often is there with substance use and opioid use disorder. So that's why we've reached out to your radio station to see how we could inform the public and do it just within our community that would also get the conversation started.
And as Patty Jo's been explaining, there's been a lot of planning going on. So although the original grant started in late 2018, you know, we needed to do the needs analysis. We needed to have some discussion and take a look at evidence-based practices, make some decisions on some of the projects that we wanted to fund and move forward with. And so we're now at that point where we're in that action phase, I guess, of our work. And that's why it may seem like, oh, this is a new thing, but actually we've been planning and working on this for quite some time. And I think that we are really interested in having some folks come in and participate in the consortium. You know, more brains, the better. We really do want folks that are interested in passionate about focusing on substance use disorder as a treatable disease, and figuring out how, with the resources that we have in the community, how do we best use those? You know, again, being lifelong Harborites, I feel like there's a certain amount of pragmatism that comes with kind of our cultural identity here. And so we want to make the best use of the resources that we have. And then when we do need to add new services or new resources, be very thoughtful and mindful about what those are, and how do we make the best use of what we would like to do for the community.
So essentially then you're taking kind of like taking the field for the first time after camp, getting ready to
Being baseball season, we've kind of had our spring training and we're getting ready to roll out for opening day. Yeah.
Yeah, we're throwing our first pitch right now, so literally.
And so the customers that you will end up with, their patients or clients, I guess would be a better word, have they started going through the system yet, or are you just to the point now where you're starting to move that direction?
Yes, we have had a few possible individuals that'll be able to work through this new opportunity, this funding opportunity, for instance, for funding for treatment. And so we are working with the different agencies, and it's a really exciting time right now. So I'm looking forward to seeing how it, you know, pans out and really get those numbers of folks receiving the benefits of this reward.
So Could you say that some of these people might be some of the homeless that we have in the community that don't have insurance and don't have connections that they need?
I can't say if it's homeless or not. So this is people and they're medical. So we can only say that our servicers are open to those that do qualify. Okay. And it's going to touch people in our community. And so in addition to, you know, the access to treatment and the transportation services, we also have been approved to do a hiring bonus for our consortium members to bring in more substance use disorder counselors, mental health counselors, more support for the clinics, the healthcare clinics that are going to be supporting these services and addressing it. Because your primary care clinics, your primary care physicians are really considered the preventive experts, you know, in prevention, because they help prevent us from having bad eating habits. You know, there's all these different things out there. So it's going to be beneficial for our community at multiple levels. And it's just a matter of, you know, can we all just kind of like open our eyes and see this could be any of us that has this disease, and any of us, you know, who has a disease, we all need help with it because we're not the experts. So having these experts come together and be able to provide these services is really, it's a great thing to have in our community. It's exciting.
So what prompted this to be put together, the consortium? When did this idea originate? Because you said a couple of years ago, correct?
Yeah. So Patty Jo may have a little bit more information about that than me, since she works really closely with Aaron DeBard, who was the original grant manager associated with the consortium. What I know is that I got involved in early 2019, but my guess is that there were some conversations involved in actually applying for the grant.
But was there something out in the county that's set this off? In other words, you were seeing these people that needed this help and they weren't getting it, and what was happening to them? There had to be something, I would think, that got you moving forward.
Right.
We need to have this.
Right. Well, you know, so the very beginning, you know, I think really what it needs to know is that, you know, Summit Pacific Medical Center is very focused and committed to making a healthy community, you know, or not making, but building a healthy community. Mm-hmm. And so with that, it's not just your typical healthcare facility that can do that. You know, they know that they have to branch out and do other work. And grant work in itself does additional work beyond the clinic. So that's where the grant helps. It helps support all of these other functions, and it provides evidence-based activities into the communities with funding to really support and move forward. So it's really, you know, so like right now, my position is in the grants department. Aaron and I are there, and our job is to look all the time to see what funding opportunities are out there, not for just Summit Pacific to apply for, but any member in our community that could benefit from it. So sometimes we'll find grant opportunities and we'll share it with other organizations because they may not have the time to look and research for this, because it takes a lot of time to do that. So that's where we are as members of the team of Summit Pacific. Our goal is to really help build the community, and sometimes we need extra money. I mean, as a person who's grown here my whole life, funding is always a topic. When we want to do something, we need more money. So grant opportunity is there. It has been there for quite some time. And sometimes it's just a missed opportunity for the lack of ability to have a staff member just to sit there and be able to look through things and know how to look at it and see who could qualify and who couldn't.
Now, what about private donations? Does that come up very often? And would you handle those as well? In other words, if somebody said, hey, you know, I've got X amount of money and I'd like to help you guys in what you're doing, and does that give you more freedom when you get money that doesn't have a grant attached to it? Does that give you a little bit more flexibility as to what you do with it?
Oh, well, sure. I mean, you know, I guess the freedom would be based on whatever the donor wanted to have the scope of work be. And as a consortium, I would say that yes, there was always going to be a need for funding, whether it's free, you know, a donation or grant money. And it's always open to be accepted, of course, in the conversation. Yes, that we're very much interested in that, because there's so many services out there that we could expand upon or could build and make new. There's emerging work that's always out there. And, you know, funding is really there. And right now, part of our gap in some of the services is really not just bringing people in to work here with these skill sets, but also being able to train people up who are members of our community, as well as keeping them here employed. Because, you know, outside of Grace Harbor County, often the pay scale is higher. So
is the cost of living.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's all these different layers. So when you start, you know, I like the analogy that one of our consortium members, Cassie, says, you know, peeling that onion apart, you know, the layer of the onion. There's so many layers. There's a lot of layers. And we know we're just barely touching the surface with our work, but it's still very important. Every step forward can save a life.
Is this modeled after another group doing the same thing you are?
Well, we don't model our work off of other people or other agencies. We are aware of other consortiums in Washington State. Mason County has one and Lewis County has one. And we are in touch with them and share knowledge and work that we're doing, so we can build upon each other's work and work well to collaboratively across our county lines. But as a grantee, meaning as a the group of people that have received funding from the grant, we also receive tools and resources from HRSA. And so,
now what is HRSA?
HRSA is the federal funding source.
Well, what's that? What's that stand for? I'm just curious.
That is the.
Remember, he'll splice you.
I know. It's this really long. It's right here. HRSA is just so much easier. We all do that. Health Resources and Services Administration.
And is that?
It's a federal agency.
Okay, it's federal. I was just going to ask you that.
Yeah.
Now, does the state kick in any money in this as well?
No, we.
Okay.
Not for this particular grant. No. They have their own funding that they do for different work. And different agencies of the consortium have received some funding.
Mm-hmm. What about transportation? Because you're talking about you transport people or arrange to have people transported to various institutions, correct?
To various places of service that provide the medical assistance that's needed to manage this disease, correct?
So who owns the carpool? I mean, how does that work?
So we have a contract with, it's called We Care Patient Transportation. It's a local company here that's been around for quite some time that came with excellent referrals from the various consortium members and other consortium members, other community members outside, as well as different facilities across the state that I called and did the research. They came with excellent referrals. So we are contracted with them. They have a fleet of cars and staff, and they are also staff members that are working with Department of Health to train and become more skill set in helping people feel comfortable and safe when they're going for a long drive to a facility, because that's a very that's a very brave thing for someone to be able to go and do, and it can be hard to do that with someone who they've never met before. So this We Care Transportation is a very good source.
So are you currently looking for more employees or volunteers? And if so, how did they get in touch with you guys?
If they're interested in becoming a member of the consortium or working with any of our consortium members, folks are available to, they can send me an email. That'll be a general email, and then I will be able to connect them to the right folks that have the need for their skill set or bring it to their attention, you know, either at the meeting or immediately forward them to, say, Angela needed somebody who she wants to hire, and I could just send it out right away to somebody. So the email address is grants, GRANTS, at sp-mc.org.
And if you can repeat that for the audience that couldn't grab a pen fast enough.
GRANTS at sp-mc.org, and you'll have that on your Coffee Talk website as well.
Well, that's good, because that's another thing, another service we have is our website, so that'll also help get some of this information out to folks.
Join us next Monday morning at 8:40 a.m. for our continuing discussion on substance use disorder as a treatable disease, brought to you by the Grays Harbor Consortium, exclusively on 103.5 FM and 1450 a.m. KBKW. To hear archived discussions, log on to gograysharbor.com.